Welcome back to part two of our special quarantine episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. This is Mark, and you got just me today and just the sound of my voice. And we are going to continue the exciting adventures on the planet of Barsoom from John Carter of Mars using the Iron Sworn rule system, which is by Sean Tomkin. You can find that at ironswornrpg.com. It's actually a free game, and I highly recommend at least downloading the PDF. I actually got the hardcover version myself, but it's a really great game for keeping yourself busy when you may not be able to get together with some of the rest of your gaming group. So, as we left off, our hero Dar Thorne found an escaped Green Martian slave named Trak, who had escaped from Gra, who was a Tark leader of the Tark horde of Green Martians. Dar had agreed to take her back to her home of the third clan, but on the way back, she kind of flipped out and kind of demanded, she needed retribution before she could face her family. And she got Dar to agree to take her back to Torquaz so that they could confront Gra himself and seek retribution for the tortures and indignities that she suffered. And as they came, as they made their plans, she also revealed that Gra was holding other slaves. Among them was Mac Rol, who was a Red Martian captain who Dar had served with in the navy of Gathal, his home nation. And so they kind of had an invasion of the home of the Tarquaz. The Tarquaz, like a lot of Green groups on Barsoom, had taken up residence in these old ruins of an old abandoned city. And so Dar and Trak had to kind of sneak in from the back. So they climbed this huge cliff. They had a battle with an Ulcio, which is kind of like a Barsoomian rat, a large, really nasty rat, which Dar was able to fight and defeat. Then they crawled into some tunnels and kind of infiltrated ruins that way, and they came into a dungeon, basically, where they found a guard who was torturing none other than Mac Rol, who was the person they had been looking for. Dar leapt into the battle and fought viciously with the guard, kind of attacked him with a whip against his sword, and they clashed for a while, and Dar eventually beat him. He was badly wounded, but not too bad, but he's currently laying on the floor of the torture chamber, badly hurt, while Trak released the Dwar, and they are now free. Dar also found some keys on the deceased torturer, so that may help them as they move forward, and that's where we are. So I think first thing we're going to see is if Dar can heal at all, and this is going to be Wits or Iron, which is higher to see. Okay, Iron, he's going to roll against his Iron to see if he can get some health back, and there's no real modifier. It's a weak hit. Okay, so I can get up to 2 health back, but then I have to suffer either supply or momentum, which is, I got a little bit more momentum at the moment, so I'm going to burn a momentum. So Dar is still kind of weak, but he's got some health back, and he will finally kind of roll over and open his eyes and see Trak and Mac Rol caring to his wounds, and he will groggily kind of look up. Everybody all right? Trak. Green Martians have a weird sense of humor. But she will actually laugh because, you know, she's obviously been laughing at the horror of the battle that just took place. But to Dwar, Mac Roll will look down, kind of startled. Darthorn? You're Darthorn. Yes? Yes, I am. You are Dwar, Mac Roll, my Dwar. I had heard you were here. I was hoping I could save you. I had been sent out to search for you. You were traitor against G'thal. No, my Dwar, it is not true. I did not harm the princess. I am loyal to the princess. I serve her to the best of my abilities. I would never let anything happen to Belador. You must believe that. And what did happen to her? I do not know. I wish I could tell you. I'm trying to find out. Nothing would please me more than retrieving her. And I can't do that from the confines of a cell. You have to understand. But what brings you here? Surely you can't think that the princess is here, of all places. No, I must admit this journey has been a waylay to my ultimate quest. But I met Trak here, and she has suffered under the same whips that you have, and I've offered to help her find revenge, which I will also seek in your name, because you also have suffered. So please let us go find Grawl. Let us beat the overseer of this oppression. And at this point I am going to have to try to compel Mac Roll to join me, rather than try to arrest me at this point. So let's see what I can do. So, I'm going to try to persuade him. Okay, I got a weak hit. Okay, so he's agreed to help us, but he asked something of me in return. Well, I think the obvious thing is he's going to... He says, fine, I will help you defeat Gra. I have to confess, I have just as much desire to see him under my sword as anybody. But when this is done, I shall be watching you. We shall go after the princess together, or not at all. Is that understood? Dar nods and says, my goal is the princess's safety. Not to undermine any of G'thal. I would welcome your assistance and wisdom and guidance. Together they nod, shake hands. He helps Dar back to his feet, and together they look for weapons. Let's see. Yeah, let's try a resupply here to see if they can find some weapons or provisions here, basically. And they miss. You find nothing. In fact, it says pay the price. Let's see what happens on the pay the price move. A new danger or foe is revealed. Well, we are actually, since we're in a runes, we're going to use the delve moves to reveal a danger. And this is actually a percentile roll. So I've rolled a 44, which says check the domain, which is a specific part of the runes. Okay, and what that says is there is a blocked or broken passage, which doesn't really make sense if the guard brought him down. Well, no, what it means is the secret passage, the hidden tunnels are blocked, and that means we can no longer go stealthily. We're going to be... have to face a little bit more of direct assault through the actual inhabited parts of the city. So that is where we're going to have to go. All right, so I guess we're going to do more of the delving the depths. So let's see how this works for us. And how are we doing? Well, we're out in the open. We definitely need to try and be stealthy here, more than haste. So I'm going to go with shadow here. We're going to kind of sneak through. Got a weak hit. So on a weak hit, you roll on the following table. So let's see what happens with here. On shadow, rolled a 70. Choose one, mark progress or find an opportunity. I think I'm going to mark progress for this. This is sight. It's formidable. So we move forward. So we get a little further in. Okay, so that has gotten us to a place we can kind of pull aside and look. We haven't encountered anybody yet. Our stealthy approach is held. But it's time to kind of gather some information, see if we can figure out where we are, what we're looking for here. And this is going to be straight wits. Weak hit. Okay. So we figured out where we are. We're in one of the lower guard rooms, but it introduces a new danger. Envision what you discover or take one and take one of the momentum. I think it's pretty obvious. If we're down where probably some of the guards are located, we are going to have a very hard time getting through any groups of guards that may be patrolling or moving back and forth from this place of where they think they're safe back up to where they're probably patrolling and guarding the situation. So we are going to, once again, kind of stealthily delve the depths here, I think, and try and travel through this kind of dangerous area. And, ooh, took a miss, reveals a danger. So, this is pretty straightforward. Let's see what we get here. Check the theme card. So, ooh, this says it reveals a mechanism or a trap. So there's some Indiana Jones-ish trap here. Let's see what I can find about that. There's actually a Delve Oracle for this. Let's see what it tells me. Okay, a trap that involves a divert projectile. So what would that mean? Okay, what that means is we're diverted. We're coming upstairs. And the way the trap works is if you're going up these, or up a ramp, basically, and if you don't stay to the correct side, it shoots at you and shoots some projectiles, probably some darts. So this is going to be a face danger roll. And we're definitely doing this with speed and agility to try and dodge these things as they come out. So, how does that play out? That is a miss. Oh no. You fail, or your progress is undermined by a dramatic and costly turn of events. Pay the price. What happens with that? Something of value is lost or destroyed. I don't really have anything of value with me, but I do have my companions. So, who is, I think somebody is definitely hurt here. Who is it that's hurt? It is Mac Roll has to endure harm. Let's see how this works. So I roll hard. Ooh, strong hit. Okay, so he actually does. He misses. The darts just graze him. He's got some scratches, but he misses them, and he is okay. He is able to get back up, and we're able to move on. We experimenting, see what we did wrong, and let's try to move forward again. We're still trying to get past this dangerous area. Probably hear guards in the distance, so we carefully try to avoid them. So we continue to creep forward. And here I got a complication, but I can burn momentum, and that will give me a strong hit. So, all right, so on a strong hit, I move forward, I get some progress, and I get to find an opportunity. So let's see what finding an opportunity does for me here. You encounter a denizen who might support us. Who might that be? Okay, time to roll on the narrator toolkit here. And we get a scientist. Ooh, okay, that makes sense. Let's see, he is a red Martian scientist. That makes sense. Let's go with the, let's see what peculiarity he might have. He's curious. That makes sense. Okay, so what we come across next. Okay, what happens is we're going through the hallways, and we're going along stealthily. We hear a group approach. We turn to the nearest door, open the door, jump in. Everybody jumps in, shut the door just before the patrol goes past. We turn, and there is a older red Martian woman, and the room is filled with scientific equipment, things that look sort of like beakers and tubes running up to equipment with some flashing lights and some billows kind of pump in various areas with some kind of old incandescent lights, kind of a spinning arcs of electricity. And she kind of looks up and says, "Who are you? What do you want? What are you doing here?" And Dar steps forward, holding up his hand, saying, "Forgive us, we are exploring the area, and we didn't mean to intrude. Do I know you?" Does he know her? That seems pretty unlikely, but let's ask the Oracle. This is a very small chance, let's say. No, he doesn't, but no, I have no idea who you are, but are you slaves as well of Gra and the Torquas? Some of us were. We're encountering an escape. Are you a slave as well? Yes, I've been here longer than I wish. But they tried to get me to work on these things and try to take advantage of this equipment they found, but they don't know anything about any of it. And when I do discover something, they don't really care. Big waste of my time. She slaps some equipment and knocks it over and grumbles. Why don't you come with us? We can get you out as well. Do you know where we might find Gra? No, I never leave these quarters. Either he or some of his minions come down and occasionally bring me food, but I haven't left here in years. I think it's time to try and compel her to cooperate. I would think this would be pretty straightforward, but let's see. Yep, that's a strong hit. So she'll say, very well, I'll join you, but don't know how much help I'll be. Just anything we can do to undermine the Torquas is going to be a victory. Come join us. Let's see if we can move forward. Dwar Mac Rolls kind of steps forward. Bigger our party, the more precarious our position is going to be. You would turn anyone away? If we can defeat Gra, perhaps we can drive off this entire horde. There are always going to be more Torquas to fill in the void. Let's just get out who we can. Come on. Let's see what we can do. So, listening at the door, it sounds like the guards have passed, and we're going to move on again. Let's see, we are continuing to stay in the shadows as much as possible and see what we can find out. Ooh, we missed. We're going to reveal a danger at this point. Alright, and that says check the theme card. So, and that is a percentile roll. 12. path is undermined. What does that mean? Okay, the path is undermined, which means I think we're getting close. I think that means that we encounter the way to the quarters of Graw, and there are a pair of very big guards who are there guarding it, and our only way through is getting through them. Now, normally they'd be dangerous, but because there's two of them, I'm just going to say they're formidable, and we are going to have to try to see what we can do. We're still hidden at this point, so I'm going to try to secure an advantage here with preparing my radiant pistol. And I get a little bit of advantage here. So, choose your approach. Okay, now I'm going to try to enter the fray. And that is a... I'm facing directly against my... moving into position against an unaware foe, so I can continue to roll shadow. And because I prepared my gun, I get a plus one. Oh, complication. Bad. Miss. Combat begins with you at a disadvantage. Pay the price. Your foe has initiative. So, what is the price? A new danger or foe is revealed. So that there are probably more guards just around the corner, which is going to increase this up to an extreme fight. Ouch. Okay. They are charging forward. Let's see. They have initiative. So they are coming after us. Drawing my sword. I got my shot off, but didn't do much good. I hit with a strong hit. And let's see. This is extreme now. So that does two ticks of damage. All right. So that is a strong hit. And that does harm, and I have initiative. I'm going to inflict one extra harm, I think, on that one. So that will actually give me a full damage. Okay. Now I have initiative. So they can... So yeah, I'm clashing. These two are on me. Track and Mark Raw are also kind of holding off the other. Pack Droll, the scientist, is kind of holding back, kind of shrieking defensively. But let me see if what I can do with a good, healthy strike now. And, okay, that got a weak hit. So I inflicted my harm, but I lost initiative. So did a little bit there, not much. This is going to be a tough battle. All right, so they come at me again, and I'm still kind of swinging my sword. Clash is echoing down the hall. This has got to be being heard. But, okay, I inflicted my harm, and yes, I'm actually going to do more harm again because I need all the help I can get here. These things, these guys are tough. But I have initiative now, so I get to strike again. So I'm going to kind of go after. I'm going to try and focus on one guy, keeping the other guy off balance a little bit. Okay, excellent. So, I got a strong hit with an opportunity. So, I inflict harm, a plus one harm, actually, so that's something. Then, I retain initiative. Oh, and I have an opportunity. So, what is... You know what? I'm going to say the opportunity is... that Mac Roll also is going to inflict damage. And normally NPCs don't do that. But this is a group action and lots going on. And I would think, he's a trained fighter. It would make sense that he could do that. So, all right. So that was a successful strike, and I retained initiative. So I'm going to keep at it and go at these guards again. Okay, that was a miss. Ouch. Okay. So your attack fails, and I must endure the harm. Actually, do I endure the harm, or does the NPC do one of the NPCs? Let's see. So, actually, yeah, that is probably going to be... let's see if Mac Drawl is going to be able to take that weak hit. Okay, your companion is battered. If health is zero, they cannot assist you. Okay. He does get... you know what? he is probably taken out at this point. So he is retaliated. He is at or he's facing death. Let's see. Does he die? Oh, yes. Oh, he is killed. So he is run through, unfortunately. So, but the battle continues. They now have initiative and are focusing a little bit stronger on me. I got a weak hit, so I inflict my harm, which is something. And then pay a price. Let's see. Again, is that going to be me or... Track is probably putting up a pretty good fight. No, that is me. So let's see if I can endure harm. What do I have? I have some health, at least. Weak hit. Okay. I do suffer harm, and this is a... What is it? A formidable foe? No, an extreme foe. Isn't it? Oof. Yeah, that's going to take me out. Boom. So I am out. Well, let's see. Wait a minute. And it was a weak hit. No, I'm going to be facing death myself here. Sure enough, on a weak hit, I die, but not before making a noble sacrifice. So here's what happens. Okay, the guards have pushed the fighting down the hall, pushed us further and further away from Gra's residence, and we're further away from our goal, when suddenly, down the hall, the door opens, and Gra himself appears to try and find out what's going on, what the clamor and commotion is that he's been hearing from inside. And I see this is the only opportunity we're going to have. Despite the swords swinging at me, I pull out my radium pistol, aim it down the hallway, and with the last shot, I shoot Gra square in the chest, just as the blades of the guards come down upon me. And I collapse into a bloody pile in the middle of the corridor. The guards, aghast, turned and rush to their fallen leader, too late, knowing they can do nothing to save him. Meanwhile, Trak drops to her knees and takes me in her forearms and says, "Thank you. Thank you for helping me fulfill my vow. I can now go home. Thank you, Darthorn." And that's the last I hear as my body fades into lifelessness. And now we're going to go right into our segment, RPG Reflection. An RPG Reflection, we normally do this on the next episode, but we're going to kind of keep things rolling because, hey, look who's here. It's Zach and Steve. Zach, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Mark?
I'm socially distant, so there's that.
Yeah.
Steve, how are you doing?
Socially distant.
You stole my line. I'm doing great. Everything's great.
Awesome. Good. So
everyone's at least 6 feet apart.
Yes.
At least, yeah. Yeah. So this is kind of a weird one because you two, of course, weren't involved in this game, but this was just kind of me doing my own thing. But I'm kind of curious what you guys thought of it.
Well, I had a great time. I gotta say, this really worked out well. It seemed like a really, really smooth way of doing solo play. I've got a couple questions about how it went, though, as we get into it. But my first impression was, dude, that was great. That was like a nice little contained radio drama. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Agreed. Well, so I have had experience with the Iron Sworn role-playing game because a few weeks back, Mark and I played off-air. We did that off-air, correct?
Yeah, we did that off-air, yeah.
Yeah, so this was very familiar to me. So mm-hmm. I went into this just as, okay, what kind of adventure is he going to do? not, okay, how does this game work kind of
more. Well,
more.
When you and I did it, we did the kind of the default setting. And so I kind of shook it up a little bit and put it in the John Carter setting, which
which I found super exciting because
we
always talk, we always hint about, you know, oh, do this, do, you know, do something in a, you know, a different game system, you know, and you did exactly that. And it was it was great. I had a blast listening to it. And yeah, it did really show what the Ironsworn RPG does for you as a gamer, what it gives you the opportunity to do.
It's interesting because even though it was a different setting, the rules didn't really change much. I was restricted a little bit of my some of my character options, but that translated really well, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
Feels like the more action heavy, like action oriented nature of John Carter was really appropriate for this.
Yeah, because Ironsworn is basically that kind of dark, almost medieval type setting. So doing something like, you know, John Carter is great.
Yeah,
it fits. It's almost seamless. It's a really good fit.
Yeah, I thought so.
But yeah, so when Mark and I had played this, we had basically done what he did, but with two of us. You know, we didn't have a GM. And we had our characters.
Yeah, you can do this as a co-op group game too, without a GM, or you could run it with a GM, really. But I think it really shines as kind of its own thing.
Yeah, well, because the Oracle aspect of it is great. It's wonderful because it basically gives you an answer that you can't come up with in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's something that appeals to me because, you know, often in game when I'm put on the spot, like ideas don't come to you just instantly for me.
Yeah.
So something like the Oracle is so helpful.
It's a great way to challenge your imagination too. Because it kind of pushes you to make some split second decisions. I will say that you have to kind of name characters. Naming a character track when you're playing a game that involves filling in various tracks was a choice I wouldn't have made if I had more time to think it out. But
But like so to kind of one up the prep aspect, you know, anyway, you go into Ironsworn, you really didn't have a whole lot of prep. Did you have?
I had none.
Okay. So like kind of something to throw out there, you know, if you're going and you know what you're going to do. So Mark, you were going to play John Carter in this. Go, okay, I'm going to collect the list of names, you know, NPC names or character, you know, stuff like this. Prepare just a small amount so that maybe that transition or the pacing or whatever goes smoother.
True. The downside of that is you don't know who you're going to run into. So, you know, I could have done a bunch of red Martian names, but then I immediately ran into a green Martian. So
yeah, but like say like, you know, John Carter, so get like three of each, you know, three red, three green, three, you know, human.
Well, no, male, whatever. Female, like, you know, it's all over the map, so.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, too, you know, the original Iron Sword has a, I think they have a chart for names, so you could do that, and that was one of the things that was missing.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, yeah, it does. Have a thing for names.
Name generator, even, so.
I know they have a John Carter name generator online, but I don't know, like, your mileage may vary on that, so.
That might have been a good.
Who knows?
Handy thing, but sure.
Well, I've got a question, honestly, because I listened to, you know, what you had recorded, and it was very smooth and it went great. But how, like, about how long did it actually take you? Like, how much did you, like, edit out of the show that was sort of overhead that the game rules looking things up and making things flow? Like, how much was there that you trimmed out?
I did hit the pause button a few times, but
okay.
But no, it wasn't. Well, I did it on Roll20, and the Roll20 interface for Ironsworn is really amazing.
It's beautiful.
All the charts are right there with everything you need. So, you know, in terms of looking up rules, very little, you know, really didn't have to do much at all.
So yeah, and we've played before, so any of those things, you know, that we would have to look up maybe for a second time, Mark has down because we've looked at this for a minute.
We have, yeah. Okay. And I've played it a few times by myself too. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, interestingly, I did mess up the ending a little bit in that because there were more foes, I increased the difficulty level, but I forgot to take into account that I had allies with me. So I could have decreased that difficulty a little bit. It was still a difficult battle. I don't know that would have changed much, but I thought it was, you know, it was a satisfying ending anyway. If, you know, would have liked to see it go a little further,
with stuff like this, you know, anything is on the table. So your character can go, can go south so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm curious to see how the three of us, if we would go in with Iron Sworn and just go in, how that kind of more full party experience would feel with this whole emulation factor.
It's true. I think it's, you know, and even just when you and I did it, I think there was a little bit of a interesting dynamic. You know, when we did, I had more experience with it than you did, so. I was doing a little bit more of the, you know, interpreting things.
What means what and stuff. Yeah. You were kind of playing the GM a little bit, on the rules side of things.
True.
Right.
True.
But the whole the individual aspect of, you know, your ability checks and stuff like that and the things that happen to each individual person. Is really interesting. That's what kind of draws me towards this game a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't think it would work with a real big group, but
no,
it worked well with two.
Like, don't bring a party of eight in here. Like
that's
a little too much.
Honestly though, I mean, it seems like it is most beneficial for small groups anyway, because that's when you're less likely to have a GM in the first place. If you've got five people, then, you know, having one person GM isn't as much of a hardship. So.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. There are more options for one person to be more prepared to run a game.
You know, right.
Step up as the GM. But
Yeah,
I like this system a lot. I know Steve can't really talk about the system side of things for this RPG reflection, but Mark, do you want to talk about? Yeah. But Mark, do you want to briefly talk about your experience with the rules thus far?
It's good. I think it's a great opportunity to do stuff, you know, especially as a solo game. You know, that's where this game shines. It's a chance to just pull something out and play it, you know, especially at a time like this when you got a lot of time sitting around your house. You know, the other side of that coin is it's very unforgiving. You know, when you have a game master, there's somebody who can fudge dice rolls for you or something. But in this case, you're relying on the way the dice roll. So that really kind of sets the tone. Now, you know, even in this case, though, I died, but the role gave me that opportunity to have a good heroic death, and, you know, it gave it a nice, meaningful resolution, which was still fun. I thought it worked really well.
Absolutely.
I've been playing this, you know, pretty regularly the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's been nice to have. It's a nice thing to... It's a nice thing to do. I recommend trying it.
And it's free.
You can't argue with that. Yeah.
You can go and download it for free, people. Yeah. And yes. Mark had mentioned at the beginning of the second episode, I believe. So yeah, you can go and listen back to that information of where you can find it. But
you can't beat free.
Can't beat it.
Well, and by the way, great voice for radio. I love your voices that you do. Like, you really, well, because you don't go overboard either. You've got just enough kind of like in there to like, okay, well, that's, you know, the character without like trying to, you know, go complete voice actor with it. So
good right job. Right. Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Bravo. Thanks. Bravo. Well, Mark started it, but I'm going to end it. I think that'll be it for this segment of RPG Reflection.
And there ends the adventures of Dar Thorne. I hope you enjoyed this. It turned out a little darker than I had hoped, but still, it was a fun adventure, and it was a fun opportunity to do something and kind of weave a story together. If you get a chance, I highly recommend this. Give this Iron Sworn a try, whether it's the actual game or trying applying it to anything else. Meanwhile, I hope whatever you're doing, you're staying safe, you're staying healthy, and we're going to keep trying to bring you as much entertainment as we can to keep a distraction. So keep gaming, keep playing, keep imagining. Use this time to be creative. Keep rolling 20s.
And that's it for this episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. Like always, you can find this episode on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour and on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at TabletopCast if you have any questions or comments. You can join us over on Facebook.com/TabletopRadioHour for regular updates. We also have an email address that is TabletopRadioHour@gmail.com. Our website, TabletopRadioHour.wordpress.com. You can find information about our Patreon page on our website. I want to thank you all for listening, and keep rolling 20s.